Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
In the 16th century, these explorers went around the world, and country after country, they discovered that the life they lived in every area was far, far superior to the life of any other people on the globe. What explains that? The free enterprise system.
The truth is, you can use your success and freedom to honor God. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, The Free Enterprise System, A Biblical Perspective, and brings you proven truth on how you can apply God's principles to pursue real success and bring blessing to others. Stick around, The Winning Walk is coming right up. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely new sermon series from Dr. Young called The Church Awake. In the midst of our decaying world, this series sounds an inspiring call for the church to wake up and be engaged in our culture with clarity and conviction on the issues that matter, standing firmly on truth instead of bowing to the whims of the world. We'll send you this series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request The Church Awake when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Young with today's message, The Free Enterprise System, A Biblical Perspective.
I'm going to pray a prayer, and it's a prayer for all of us. Will you repeat after me this prayer to our Heavenly Father? Dear God, thank you for so many blessings. We're here today for you to do business in my life. So many areas we need to have forgiven. Remind us, O Lord, that repentance is necessary before forgiveness takes place. Lord, touch us. Bring us alive. Give us a new joy in living. We praise you. We thank you. And we listen expectantly for your truth to explode in our lives. May we leave this place of gathering brand new, excited about living the life of Jesus through us. In his name we pray. Amen. In the 16th century, when explorers from Europe began to travel the world, they went from continent to continent, covering the whole globe. The one thing that they noticed wherever they went, one thing stuck out. It was the fact that their life in Europe was so far advanced technologically, culturally, from the rest of the world. Did you get that? In the 16th century, these explorers went around the world, and country after country, they discovered that the life they lived in every area was far, far superior to the life of any other people on the globe. What explains that? The free enterprise system. Capitalism. Developed uniquely for many years only in Western Europe. And as these explorers saw the Inca civilization, saw the Mayans and all the others as advanced as they were, as they went to Africa and India and China, and they saw there's a tremendous gap in technology and lifestyle. And it seems that only in Europe was that this opening of light and progress. And those early explorers were amazed because an area of development of steel, shipping, agriculture, the Europeans were miles, hundreds of years ahead of everybody else. How did this take place? Some historians say it was the Protestant Reformation. I don't think that's true. I think it started far before that. I think the whole area of amazing progress in Europe began with the fall of the Roman Empire. If you remember anything about history, I was taught as a history major, that following the fall of the Roman Empire in 385 AD, that all of Europe went into, and most of the world, what was called the Dark Ages, remember? Even Edmund Gibbon, who was a historian, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, he said that all the barbarians took over when Rome fell. And we see so many fell victim to that belief that now there were no Colosseums being built, there were no monuments being built, the Roman road had been built, and it was the era of the Romans that the world grew and progressed with all the modern structures and all the form of government. And the very opposite was true, ladies and gentlemen. Because it was the Roman Empire that kept the common people oppressed. And all the common people were taxed exorbitantly, in order to do what? In order to build all these Colosseums, in order to maintain a Roman army that could keep all the hoi polloi, the lower in their place, in their position, where the elitists could have everything, and they would have the monuments, and they would have the best of food, and therefore everybody else was taxed. But when Rome fell, there was an explosion of freedom for 1,500 years. And the idea that the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages were ages of depression and confusion and ignorance is absolutely, using a fancy word, hogwash. The Middle Ages was a time of tremendous development. Now the people were set free. And there came into vogue something called reason and logic. And all the other religions of the world, by the way, they lived in the past. They reverenced the past. Only Christianity adopted reason and logic and looked to the future. Only Christianity said, we are based on truth. And therefore, you find the great innovators, the great explorers, the great scientists during that 1,500 years we call the Middle Ages, almost without exception, they were all serious, Bible-believing, born-again Christians. Because Christianity, we're about truth. We're about logic. We're about absolute history. The other religions were repressive, and they pushed it away. And therefore, it was in Europe where now Rome was gone, taxation was gone. Now the people had freedom, and now the people had independence. Now people could use their own ingenuity, and it was from those monasteries, those Christian centers. Out of that, we have banking system. Out of that, we have beginning of bartering. Out of that, we had the beginning of production and buying and selling. And out of those monasteries grew city states. And suddenly you would go there, it would be like a shopping center of different trades and crafts. And all of a sudden now, they invented a way not to go by flat ships, which had to stay close to the shore. There was invented during this period the rounding ship that had sails. And all of a sudden, they weren't drawn with commerce with those ox-drawn carts. Now they had teams of horses. And so we see so many divides. In that period, that's where he got eyeglasses. For a long time, people could work, and then they couldn't see. But eyeglasses were invented. During this period, musical notation was invented. All of a sudden, music began to thrive and grow. Artists were found. Now they could express themselves in art. You had a whole cultural, intellectual revolution, and plus all the agriculture. You have the three-field system came into being, and suddenly there was more food and more production. There was more freedom, and there we had the beginning moorings of what we call the free enterprise system. There has to be freedom. There has to be the right of the individual, and there's no exclusive people because you were born in this family. Therefore, everybody else had to bow down to you. That was eliminated. At the same time, because of the thrust of the teaching of the Bible, slavery was virtually eliminated in Europe by the 7th century. So you see the idea about, oh, the Dark Ages. No, the Dark Ages were when the people were oppressed. And when that oppression was lifted by the defeat of the Romans, therefore you had Europe developing in a way and a path that no one had seen before in the history of humanity. The free enterprise system. You produce something, people will give you that which you think that thing you produced is worth. It is when wealth or money begets wealth and begets money. And it's the genius of not only Europe, we see now in America and Canada and other places. We know in history when the Englishmen came over on the Mayflower and et cetera, they established New England. They came here primarily for God, so they could worship freely. We know in South America, it was different. The Spanish went down and they conquered South America. It became the new Spain, and they went primarily there for gold. New England, God, South America, gold. We see a different in culture. We see the free enterprise system developing here in America. Therefore, we see what happened to the rest of the world can be explained in a little story of from China in 1008. In northern China, they developed a group of people who started using iron ore and smelting it and producing iron products, which helped in their agriculture. There you see a little smithering of the free enterprise system, and suddenly common people were hired, wages were given, and there was an explosion of the whole area of living and eating and relating to one began to explode. And all of a sudden in northern China, you have a wonderful building through iron ore. At one time, there were over 100,000 tons of iron were produced in 1 year. That's amazing at that time. And there was affluence coming, and common people were being paid higher and higher wages. And they found the canals there. They'd ship all the iron ore and the products out. Amazing thing. But, oh, wait a minute. The bureaucracy in Beijing heard about it. And the Mandarins came out and they says, Confucius would not be pleased with this. So they went and nationalized that whole part. And in a handful of years, all the prosperity there that came from capitalism was totally obliterated. This happened virtually all around the world, by oppression. And therefore, that's the reason. Exclusively in this period of time, that 1,500 years, you have the develop of the free enterprise system. which levels the playing field, that gives everyone a chance. And it's a wonderful system of economics. It's the reason America today is a successful nation, the most successful nation on the face of this earth in any way you measure an economy. But I ask the question, if capitalism has been so successful in America, and unquestionably it is, how in the world that we're hearing so much today about socialism? We hear on every turn. What is socialism? Socialism is simply another form of communism. Communism is socialism with a gun. Socialism comes from Das Kapital, Karl Marx. He says, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. And the idea is beautiful in the sense that we all produce and we all equally share in the products that we produce. There's only one problem with that. It has never been successful in all of history, and it's been tried time and time and time again. Pure socialism ends up in a few people having it all and everybody else fighting over the crumbs that are left. But wait a minute, huh? What is the position of those who advocate socialism? The millennials, age 25 through 39, there are 73 million of those in that age category in the United States. And according to the Heritage Foundation, 44% of them would rather have socialism than capitalism. Now, 33% of those could not tell anybody what socialism is, but that's beside the point. What is the appeal of socialism to 73 million Americans? Let me tell you what it is. 1% of the population of America owns 40% of the wealth and money in America. Hello? 1% owns 40%. What is wrong with that picture? And the gap between the haves and the have-nots is growing larger and larger and larger every single year for a number of years. What's happened to capitalism that's made us great? What is going on? I've said it many, many times, and it is historically and absolutely true. You can't live in a city or a country where there's a whole bunch of haves, and that's most of us here, and a whole bunch of have-nots. You can't exist like that. Life doesn't work like that. That is not capitalism. That is not what we're about. And a part of the problem we have here, and these millennials see it, because a lot of them are underemployed. They're paid a minimum wage or a little more, and they see no way to advance. And they say all this inequity there. And we see the major corporations. There's 61 of them last year, major corporations, did not pay a penny of taxes. And so many of them pay just a little bit of taxes. Well, how does that work? Tell you how it works. 2018, Amazon paid zero in taxes for a record profit of $11 billion. That's the second year in a row of that e-commerce giant. Amazon is drawing a list of other big companies. I'll name a few. Naming big profits and paying no taxes. They're joining Delta Airlines, Chevron, Netflix, and General Motors, and the list goes on and on, no taxes. How does that work? These big corporations, they have CPAs and lawyers who work and get special little riders in Congress, so they will not have to pay taxes for this they're doing and that they're doing. And therefore, they give to these politicians' campaign, and naturally, they vote to help them in the whole process. Hello. Now, I'm not a socialist. I'm against socialism. But I can tell you, we who are capitalists and live in the capitalistic world, something needs to change, and we need to recognize and create a whole new environment that's based on Christian ethics. Let me tell you something. Russia is trying to become a capitalistic nation. China is becoming pick it up, free enterprise. The question remains, can you have capitalism without Christianity? Or does capitalism still flow, and is not somehow equal? When a company succeeds, if you and I are part of that company, all the success of the country ought to be bled down. We had last year one oil company made an amazing amount of money, and thank God for the CEO and the primary stockholder. He gave every member, those who park cars and those who live in the upper office, $100,000 bonus, every member of his company, because of the profits that they had. That is true Christian capitalism, ladies and gentlemen. Capitalism is wonderful if it's operated and people who are part of it have something of the Judeo-Christian ethics. If not, it becomes another way to exploit you and exploit me and exploit the common people. Now, capitalism also has echoes that you find in the New Testament. Jesus talked about salary. He talks about property rights. And by the way, a part of capitalism is having property rights. A part of capitalism is that we can determine our destiny. A part of capitalism is we have equal opportunity. And we see this all the way through the New Testament, little foregleams of it here and there. And also in the Old Testament, we have a whole lot of capitalism. And I want to introduce you to one Old Testament personality today that was an absolute capitalist. He was for the free enterprise system. His name was Lot, L-O-T. We read through the Bible together. By the way, on the 20th week of our Bible study together, if you've been counting, I'm about, I think about 4 days behind, but I'm going to catch up this afternoon. Confession.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
James 3:8. For no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Have you heard the expression, one rotten apple will spoil the whole barrel? In the days when people keep apples in a root cellar, if they put a rotten apple in a barrel with good apples, before long, every apple in the barrel would be rotten. The Bible teaches that the tongue can be deadly. Say the wrong word at the wrong time, and that word is like a rotten apple that can upset an office, a friendship, a home, or any relationship. A heart can be compared to the core of an apple. The real problem is what? With my heart. I'm rotten inside. Now to fix it, we need to pray as David did. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. God, as only He can do, won't just improve your heart. He will give you, He will create in you a new heart, one that is absolutely brand new.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a brand new series by Dr. Young called The Church Awake. We can all agree the world is broken, and in this timely new series, Dr. Young equips you to be the salt and light Jesus calls you to be by engaging our decaying culture on some of today's most controversial issues. This series is our thanks for your gift to support and keep this program going strong. So call now to request The Church Awake when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back Monday as Dr. Young shares more proven truth to help you break down the altar of success. Have a great weekend.